I think Marshawn Lynch on ESPN now has surpassed Lee Corso for dropping F-bombs. Marshawn was in the first quarter last night on the Manning cast, which does not need to be replicated for like college football. There'll be a demand for, let's have this during the college football playoff. Don't do it. Just like everybody that's trying to repeat what the chemistry is like on inside the NBA, you cannot take two brothers that are built like Peyton and Eli and their relationship and try and find somebody else. But Marshawn Lynch being on there and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and the great guests that they have, which I'm told nobody books those. They book them on their own. They call them up and or text them and say, hey, would you like to come on? And now it's become so popular that people are like, hey, would you like me to come? I got a Monday night free. But Marshawn Lynch being on there shows us why that works. If you've seen him interviewed before, it can be awkward. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Remember that? Because athletes interviewing other athletes put them in a comfort zone that you and I can't do or anybody else in the media can do unless you have that special relationship. We couldn't get, I'm sure if we had Marshawn Lynch on, I bet he would drop an F-bomb or two, and we'd be in a lot more trouble than the Mannings are. But athletes interviewing other athletes, they're comfortable. Listen to any of the podcasts that student-athletes are doing with fellow student-athletes. They're getting information and they're going places that we can't because they understand each other. They understand what it's like to compete at a high level of competition or what you go through. And Marshawn Lynch being comfortable last night shows you that that works with athletes being involved with other athletes. But don't, ESPN, do not replicate it. Just don't. You can't. Just leave it alone. Do whatever you do for the college football championship game, but leave that alone. Because it's only going to fail, and everybody say, well, you're just trying to do the same thing you did with the Manning cast, and you know what the result will be. You just don't have that. Maybe you do. Maybe you can find those two people out there. But in terms of athletes that would be able to get other athletes to go there, you're not going to be able to do it. And that's what makes the Manning cast unique. In games like last night, blowouts, I think it's perfect. I will try and watch part of it next week when the Chiefs are on Monday night. I don't know how long I will stick with it. But last night, I don't know how many people stuck with that game. That was an ugly game. Welcome back into the Gary Sharp Show. There's Josh, who is getting ready for the World Series, along with Eric. Many Braves fans that are joining you. The power of TBS, the power of Skip Carey and Don Sutton and Pete Van Wieren and Ernie Johnson's father.
So we just call him Ernie Johnson's father.
I hate this. My bad. But Ernie Johnson's father was one of the original Braves broadcasters. And so we've talked about it. They built quite the following because of the superstation.
It'd be Ernie.
Okay. Ernie Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Skip Carey. Mm-hmm. And then along came Chip Carey. I don't know, I was really enamored when Chip was the television voice of the Cubs, but I enjoyed Skip Carey.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
They would have four guys and they would rotate. Two would be on TV to begin the game, the other two would be on radio, then midway through the game they would switch. I mean, it's so rare today. Yeah. But the Braves did that, and it worked.
Plenty of room on the bandwagon. Just stay away from Ronnie's knee. We don't touch it right now, but hop on. We'd love to have you.
Now, are you burning sage in a franchise in a city that might be cursed? See, I don't think the Braves getting to the World Series is fluky this time.
No, they were a game away last year.
Mm-hmm. And they're a really good team mm-hmm. that has overcome some major injuries, and they're MVP is their GM. But because of the past history of Atlanta, do you want me to remind you? Just for the listeners. For the listeners.
For the people who don't know, yeah, sure.
All right, 28-3 in the Super Bowl. Then you had 2-26 in Atlanta for Alabama to beat Georgia for the national championship game. That seems like it wasn't that long ago. That was Tua was a freshman. Then you had the infield fly rule in the wild card game against the Cardinals.
Oh. Yeah.
Watching that in a pub in Columbus, Ohio, because Nebraska and Ohio State played the next day. and they had the sound down, and we were watching and couldn't understand why they were littering the Turner Field with garbage. And then saw why. I was like, I would throw stuff too.
Yeah.
Then you had last year being up 3-1 in the NLCS. So those are things that have gone against the city of Atlanta. Is it cursed? Do you sacrifice something? I mean, do you promise to never drink Pepsi in a Coke town ever again?
You can make the argument that the Atlanta Braves have sacrificed some legends over the last year and that they should be out there winning for them.
Well, there'll be a rollout. Smoltz will be on the Fox broadcast with Buck, but will Tom Glavine come back? Will Greg Maddux? Will Bob Horner? Chris Chambliss?
They all need to be there for Game 3.
Is Claudel Washington still alive?
I have no idea.
Unfortunately, Pascual Perez, who got lost going to the stadium, he has passed away, I believe. Will Otis Nixon be there? Will Glenn Mother Hubbard be there?
Claudel left us in June of 2020.
Okay. Rest in peace. But Game 1 of the World Series is coming up tonight. You got a lot of Braves fans that are chiming in.
It's that TBS thing. I really think it is.
Now you've got a local connection with Jake Myers.
True.
From Westside, who is playing for the Astros. This will be a fun series. I hope it goes 7. As no rooting interest, I'll just sit back and enjoy baseball.
I hope it's good baseball because there's a lot of other things that can be talked about if the game's 12-2. And there are things Major League Baseball does not want to be talked about.
Speaking of the World Series, 30 years ago today, one of the greatest calls in the history of the World Series by Jack Buck. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Game 6 up at the Metrodome between, oh, wait a minute, the Twins and...
Come on!
Are you a big Ken Herbeck fan? No, Ron Gant is not.
I don't give Ken Herbeck the time of day.
But that's the Kirby Puckett game with the catch, the home run, and the call. And then it led to, the following day, one of the greatest World Series games in the history of the World Series in Game 7, in which Jack Morris was a horse that night.
Yeah.
When I was reminiscing about that, I forgot that the Braves in 91 were playing the Twins. So I apologize.
That's where my fandom was born.
That was not intentional. Was in the 91 World Series?
91 World Series. My dad was pulling for the Twins. And
did your dad have a Homer Hankey out?
No.
Metrodome was rocking in 91. No. It was rocking in 87 when the Twins beat the Cardinals. You go, Twins!
My dad is a Cubs fan, and he just picks a team in the World Series because he loves baseball, and he was picking the Twins. And just to be a punk kid, I was like, I'm going to root against you, Dad.
See, that's a lot how we will get our fandom.
Uh-huh.
My dad, for his entire life, worked for the New York Mets. The Mets were good to my dad. He loved the New York Mets. I hated the New York Mets outside of the 86 World Series. I absolutely despised the Mets. I did enjoy some of the perks of my dad working for them, but I didn't like the Mets at all. Because people will say, well, how come you're not a Mets fan? I'm not a Mets fan because that was our whole life. We had Mets crap everywhere. All I heard about was the Mets. The Mets this, the Mets that. There's this kid named Good, and there's this kid named Strawberry. Dave Magadan is your godfather. All of it. I don't like the Mets. And then the Cubs were, you know, beaming into, you know, little Gary Sharp's home there in Urbandale on Maryland Drive. And so I became a Cubs fan. But there are a lot of people that are like that. You are opposite of what your parents rooted for just because you wanted to be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good on you. You're a little punk kid. That's good.
The first pro team I picked, my longest sports love. Aside from the Nebraska Cornhuskers, that's born into you around these parts. This is my longest professional love.
Yeah?
And here we are.
Oh, now you're pulling at my heartstrings.
Thank you.
This is like a 30-year run. I'm really hoping for you in this series. Because 95 has been a long time ago.
Yeah. Last time we were there, we didn't win a game. So let's hopefully improve upon the last time out.
All right. 11-11 on the Gary Sharp Show. There's Josh. The bye week is over. Nebraska gets ready for Purdue. Coaches are speaking. Matt Lubick, if anything pertinent comes up, we will share it with you. Eric Chenander is speaking publicly for the first time since losing his father. He is thanking all the people that expressed condolences after the death of his father. He was back. Chins was on the sidelines Friday night here in the Metro watching Millard South and Omaha Burke play. So Nebraska is back from the bye week. And the storyline with got to get three to get to a bowl game, is that even possible? People are telling you 5-7. Is acceptable 5-7? What does 5-7? What does growth look like? What does the day after the Iowa game look like? All of those things are swirling around in year four of the Scott Frost tenure. And we try and read body language, and we try and read into things, and we try and, okay, if Trev is not wearing a suit or he's got a really fancy suit, what does that mean? You know, we've been down this road before. It's exhausting. It's exhausting doing this, and it's kind of on a every 3 or every 4 year cycle. But does the head coach give you the impression that he is in save your job mode? Trying to think what that looks like. Are you panicked? Do you all of a sudden you're jittery? I don't think you would know. And this is kind of now on about a 2-3 year run with Scott as the head coach. And you could even make a case it's been this way since he started his tenure of 40 football games, the head coach at Nebraska. You don't know if he doesn't give you the impression if it's good or bad. Outside of some brief glimpses of some emotion, that's kind of what you felt after Northwestern. You don't really see a change in demeanor. I think Scott is who Scott is with his personality. And for 40 football games, I think it's been nearly the same. There've been times where you see him, looks like he's loose on the sidelines. Okay, now all of a sudden I'm having fun. But let's be honest. When you're 15-25 at your alma mater, there's not a lot of times you're going to be having fun. So he doesn't give, to me, the impression that he is in save your job mode. I don't believe he thinks that. I said yesterday, I'd love a sense of urgency. We all have a different feeling of what a sense of urgency looks like, but it's all about actions. I don't know, what do I look like with a sense of urgency to get to the next break, Josh? Sense of urgency is in your actions. And I know that there's going to be a lot of discussion this week, a lot of discussion next week before the behemoth of The Ohio State University rolls into Lincoln. Is there going to be a sense of patience? And we're close, we'll get over the hump. You know where he gets that? He's going to harken back to his first year. When went through the terrible stretch to begin the tenure here, and then got one win, and then got another, and then played well in Columbus, and then got another, and then got another, and then came close at Iowa. Thinking, I've seen it before. Once one happens, it's going to lead to another. And whatever happens when the season is over, and you're not going to see a statement from Trev. He has publicly said in an interview with ESPN where the growth is. Does the AD and the head coach agree on the plan to get there? Now, that's where it could get a little sideways. If you don't agree on the plan, or if you don't have a plan, for God's sake, if you don't have a plan, gots to go situation. And I don't know what the heck you would be doing. I don't believe that's true. But you're not going to see a statement from Trev, support or whatever. He doesn't do that. I also don't think he puts wins on people. He's about growth. So here's why, because I've said this from Josh before you joined me, well before you joined me. You'll know everything there is to know about Nebraska football at the end of the game against Iowa. Minnesota was a bad loss going into a bye week. Bad history going into a bad bye week. Bad history coming out of a bye week where Nebraska has, under Scott Frost, never won a game. They're going to try and do something Saturday they haven't done. There's not a lot of them out there coming out of a bye week, but not winning going in or winning coming out. That's not good. But I think now Trev is in a position here of another evaluation point of what does growth look like coming out of a bye week? Can you still grow at the end of the year? You're either staying the same, getting worse, or getting better. So what does growth look like in the last four games? Is that breakthrough with only four more opportunities, is it possible? Because you know the sales job in the offseason, if you don't get to that breakthrough moment, what are you selling next year? So I think from here on out, it'll be more than just wins and losses for Scott's future at Nebraska. It'll be actions with your own team and with your own staff. But he doesn't give me the impression that he is in savior job mode. Kind of gives me the same impression that he gave me a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Gives me the impression of I'm in the mode of how do we beat Purdue? Because if you don't beat Purdue, we're all fortunate enough that basketball begins after that in about 10 days. All right, basketball actually begins 2 weeks from today. All right, 11:18. Andy Kendi will join us coming up at 12:30. Tom Chattel at 1. Mike Sauter will stop by in less than an hour. We got some high school football to break down. We'll get his thoughts on a couple of the local prospects in the class of 23 and 24 that are Nebraska targets. That's all coming up at 11. But before the break, let's welcome in Mike. Mike, thanks for the call. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think there's a sense of urgency, but don't you think he's got to win at least one game?
Oh, yes. I mean, it actually would probably be good to win. If you can't win three, I would win two. I wouldn't win one or none.
Yeah, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's a tough schedule.
All right.
This is probably the most winnable game this week, right?
Well, of the four, yes. I think Wisconsin, because of what Wisconsin does, is going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
So that was supposed to be the doing the math with Minnesota involved. Okay, six is going to be no problem. But to get to six, you got to start with Purdue. If you don't beat Purdue, then it's I don't know, Mike. I think anything goes then after that, because that's another bad look of coming out of a bye, losing to a team that's coming off a loss, you know, and playing their third straight difficult game. I mean, there's a lot that goes into Saturday. For this current team, and I actually think the future.
Hey, Gary, how old is Bubba?
27, 28.
Wouldn't that be cool if he walked on at Nebraska? I think he can afford it. And give football another try. I mean, we really wanted him, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. He is 29. He turned 29 in August, Mike.
Is it possible? Callahan comes back at the offensive line? Well, that's one. You'd say that's one in a million. But what are the odds of having a 7-yard punt, a punt to the wrong side of the field, an all-conference field goal kicker can't make extra points or field goals unless they're 50 yards, a quarterback that, man, don't have a safety, you know, don't get sacked and does it. Hey, is there a stat for how well you play the first 55 minutes?
Mike, Bubba is done.
Okay. Is there a stat in football for how well you do the first 55 minutes of the game and how well you do in the last 5 minutes? I know in baseball they got all kinds of stats, but how do you do when the games are close, you know, or how you hit, you know, with runners in scoring position, stuff like that. Is there one for football? Because I think Martinez, these last 3 years, it would be quite a stat how he does most of the game, keeping you in the game, and then how he does at the end of the game when you cannot afford to make a mistake.
There is a stat out there. I will find it for you. But it goes even to the final drive of close games, which is not kind.
And would you agree they wouldn't even be close games if it wasn't for Martinez? I mean, that's how important he is.
That is correct.
I mean, geez, what are the odds of that? Because I think in his first year, you mentioned the Iowa and Ohio State game, his first year, at the end of those games, he was great. It was the defense that was the problem.
Well, now it's shifted to the offense, and in particular, before you ever get to those moments that cause Nebraska issues, is scoring in the red zone. But if you look at a lot of the one-loss games, it's kind of shifted back to the offense not being able to cash in when they get an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was watching part of that Wisconsin-Purdue game where Wisconsin just manhandled them. Guess what? The fullback was a big part of that. I paid special attention to that. Does it bother you? I know it bothers a lot of old-time Nebraska people, including former fullbacks, that we don't have a fullback anymore.
It would be nice in certain occasions, but
like
you have
red
to.
Zone?
But you have to have. Well, you kind of have a fullback. You could bring. They've done it with DeAndre Thomas. You know, you can't be. You can't be real fancy because more than likely he's not rep more than one play in that package.
Exactly.
I don't, for anybody that wants the fullback, you have to have a staff that's comfortable having an offense with a fullback. If they're not comfortable and don't know how to properly utilize them, it's not worth it.
Frost played with one of the greatest ever, Makavica. I mean, good Lord. And in the pros, he played special teams. And, you know, look, what, no fullback, and our special team's been horrible. So you got to explain that one to me. I don't understand it.
Mike, thanks for the phone call. So this year... And this is just the fourth quarter. It's not all the way down to the final possession. So Adrian, in the first quarter this year, has not thrown a touchdown or an interception. He has thrown 63%. Second quarter, 59%. One touchdown, one interception. Now, what he does in the third quarter mirrors Nebraska offensively. They've been much better for the first time in 4 years, in the third quarter, coming out of the locker room than they ever have before. In the third quarter this year, Martinez completes passes at 69%. He also has five touchdowns and zero interceptions in the third quarter. He also has only been sacked two times in the third quarter. He has been sacked nine times in the second quarter, three times in the first quarter. He also, in the third quarter, he rushes for 7.5 yards per carry on his 21 carries. Now we go to the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, he's at 67%. Four touchdowns, one interception, has been sacked seven times in the fourth quarter. And running the football in the fourth quarter, 21 attempts, 1.3 yards per carry. You want to show me a sign of growth in the last four games? Why do guys that maybe don't have a good first quarter play much better in the second and third quarter, but in the fourth quarter they can't do the same thing they were doing in the previous two quarters? Or some guys that are good in the first and second quarter, why can't they do the same exact thing when you get to the third and fourth quarter? So Martinez in the first quarter, 28 carries, 26 in the second, 21 in the third, 21 in the fourth. His average goes from 3.5 yards per carry in the first, 5.8 yards per carry in the second, 7.5, as I mentioned, in the third, and then drops all the way down to 1.3 yards per carry in the fourth. Adrian, there's a couple of games where Adrian hasn't played the full game with blowouts. But those are pretty telling. You know, why? What happens with Nebraska that they are so efficient in the third quarter that they cannot repeat that in the fourth quarter? Verz and I kind of got into this yesterday. Everybody that works on their scripted plays, and everybody has them, some are 10, some are 15, some are 20, some go even deeper, maybe they go 25. If you start with a script and you are successful in those first 10, 15, 20, 25 plays, why do you go away from it? Why all of a sudden do you rip up the script and throw it away and say, all right, now we're on to the rest of our playbook? You're not being stopped. Why change? Don't get bored. Don't get bored as an offensive coordinator. I judge you not on how fancy your play calling looks. I judge you on how successful your play calling is. Points. Chicks dig points. Diehard fans dig points. But what happens between the third and fourth quarter with Nebraska? Individuals. play well in the third, and then the fourth starts, and you go, uh-oh. Usually it's, hey, you played well in the first and second quarter, but in the fourth quarter, you look completely different, and we're doing the same stuff. What happens? See, that's when you get into the tricky area of, do you know the why? If you don't know the why, then you're navigating some really rough waters to try and figure that out. And you're not going to be able to overcome it until you do figure that out. All right, 11:27. More from Lincoln coaches and players. We'll deliver you some of the key nuggets that have come out. We'll get back to this whole fourth quarter thing. That if you're looking at this weekend, and Nebraska's a touchdown favorite, and it becomes kind of a fascinating matchup. Purdue is starting to turn into a MASH squad. For your own sake, do you want another close game just to see? Just to see? Would you take another close game just to see? We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.